Welcome to worship with First Presbyterian of Bend. We practice what we call a spacious Christianity, where there is room for everyone, no matter where you find yourself on a faith journey, even if you find yourself without faith. You are so very welcome here. We welcome your questions and your doubts as gifts that invite us into deeper conversations. We celebrate diversity and believe it is a strength. And we remind you that you are made in the image of God's goodness and that you are so very loved. We do our best to live the spacious and radical love of Jesus so that all might flourish in this world. As we practice a spacious Christianity, we hope you can find space to breathe, a faith you can believe in, and a God who believes in you. There's a tradition of lighting candles of hope, peace, joy, and love during the season of Advent leading up to Christmas. The first 2 weeks of Advent, we lit the candle of hope and the candle of peace. And today we light the candle of joy. How does a weary world practice joy? By dancing and throwing birthday parties, by hanging Christmas lights and holding sleeping babies, by singing loudly and looking for good news, by sharing the love of Jesus and showing up for our community. There are a million ways to practice joy. So today, we light the candle of joy in a weary world with a reminder and a charge. With God's help, may we bring joy into this weary world. Amen.
When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princesses are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock. The work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart.
During this season, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, I really enjoy setting aside the question of history to imaginatively enter the mystery. You know, things don't have to be factual to be true. We don't really know what in fact happened and what in faith happened around the birth of Jesus. And stepping into the story of the birth of Jesus with curiosity and wonder, we might stumble across truths that give hope to our own story. So today, I invite us to be curious and wonder about Joseph, who is engaged to Mary. Joseph doesn't speak one word in the story. I mean, I wanted to be Joseph in the Christmas pageant when I was younger, because there were no lines to memorize. Yet the presence of Joseph is a strong thread holding the tapestry of the story together. Have you ever wondered what kind of presence Joseph was to Jesus at his birth and in his early years? You know, when Jesus reaches for a metaphor to describe the nature of God's heart, the depth of God's love, he used the Aramaic word Abba, which literally means Papa. Was Jesus thinking of the presence of Joseph when he described God as Abba with such tenderness and intimacy? I mean, Jesus told a story about a wayward son who longed to return home. And the son rehearsed his apology on the road, you know, hoping he would be forgiven and welcomed home. His father, who never stopped watching, waiting, hoping for his son to return, saw him at a distance, ran out to greet him. And before his son could even utter one word of apology, his father wrapped his arms around him, crying, "Welcome home." Now, is Jesus thinking about Joseph when he described the presence of Abba's love in the story as being forgiving, merciful, patient, expansive, affirming? Presence. I wonder about the presence of Joseph and the impact his presence had in the life of Jesus. So I want to invite you to step into the story with curiosity and wonder, using your imagination. I'm actually going to share a dramatic monologue as Joseph. Now, I'm not going to dress in costume, but I want you to imagine that I am Joseph with Jesus in the temple 12 years after his birth, reflecting back on that night. It was 12 years ago that he was born. I remember that night when his first cry pierced the darkness like it was yesterday. Mary and I were so tired, hungry, cold, and scared. But as we held each other, held this child, this miracle that had just entered the world, I can't explain it, but it was almost as if this child was holding us, as if God was holding us. Forgive me. I'm a simple man. I can't explain such things, but looking into the eyes of that child as he laid there in that feeding trough, was like looking into the very eyes of God. I can't believe it's been 12 years. You know, they told me to quietly dismiss Mary. That's what I was encouraged to do, cast her aside. Do you know my Mary? Milka, my first wife. Milka died before we were able to have children. Milka was a good, good woman. I was approached by Mary's father, who knew I was now alone, and he said he knew that I was a good and righteous man. He said he had no right to ask me, but wondered if I might take his youngest daughter, Mary, as my wife. I had heard the rumors about Mary, the gossip around the well. She was 4 months already. Only marriage could save her from stoning and death. Such was the law. So to my shop in Nazareth, Mary's father brought her, a carpenter I am by trade. When I looked at Mary, her eyes were cast down, but her face, so young, so radiant, was a sweet breath of heaven. You know, there was this strength about Mary that seemed to come from some other place. I'm a man of few words. I did not know what to say to Mary. She sat and watched as I worked with the wood. Finally, her words and tears burst from her. "It's God's child I carry. You must believe me. I tell you, it's true. It's a miracle." Her dark eyes were fierce, deep, determined. I didn't want to hurt her. I spoke slow. "I'm a carpenter. I live by my hands. Who am I to judge? What do I know of miracles?" All night I wrestled with strange fears. When I slept, I dreamt Mary was an olive tree. Scripture tells us that faithful servants of God were compared to olive trees. I can't really tell you why, but I was no longer afraid. I knew I was to take Mary to be my wife. Mary filled my empty house. She sprouted and sang her body's news. "See, Joseph, how I grow. Listen, Joseph, a beating heart. Feel, Joseph, a boy's foot." I teased her, "Mary, how do you know it's a boy?" And she said confidently, I know, I just know." In her ninth month, Caesar Augustus called a census. It was not the time to be up and moving. It was the time to be still and stay. It was the time for women to gather around Mary. But what could I do? I was born to the house of David, to Bethlehem, the town of David. We had to return to be counted. 75 miles to travel with Mary about to bear a child. I didn't know how we would make the journey, but it was a journey that we had to make. The good donkey bore his burden well. You know, Mary didn't complain once. The journey south felt like weeks, hour after hour on that dusty road, stopping now and again for cheese and dry bread. Mary's pains began the last hours of our journey. When we arrived in Bethlehem, we were in dire need of a room. I knocked on the great door of the inn, and the innkeeper looked at us and said, "There is no room, not even a corner." He tried to close the door, but I pushed it back open, pleading. Mary cried out in pain. The innkeeper's wife swept in from the kitchen, a baby on her hip. She took one look at us and told us her father's stable out the back. It would be quiet and clean. I begged her, "Please come and help." She promised to try. The stable smelled of sweet grasses. The animals moaned nervously as I cleared a stall. There was a manger, a feeding trough, that gleamed with the saliva of the oxen that had clearly just eaten there. Mary's eyes turned inward as the pain called. I kept thinking, where is the innkeeper's wife? I paced, restless as the animals. When would the innkeeper's wife come? Mary needed someone. And then there was this great groan, Joseph! I ran out into the night to cry for help. But there was no one. Joseph! Mary cried. What could I do? I went to Mary's side. She was awash with sweat. She grabbed me around my neck. I thought, I'm a man. I am a man. This is not my place. Hold me, she cried, pulling herself up, burying her face in my shoulder. So I did. I held her. She was an olive tree, so strong, so beautiful. The new life came pressing forth, wet and tiny. His cry pierced the night air. Mary put him to her breast and bade me to cut his cord. It was dark and dirty in that stable, and it smelled. Yet truth be told, I have never seen or experienced anything so holy and beautiful in my life. A miracle. Mary and I held each other. Honestly, we cried together. But they weren't tears of sadness. We held this child, and we were cold and hungry and scared. But I tell you again, it was as if this child was holding us, as if God was holding us. And we knew that all would be well. Then there were footsteps outside the stable. I rose thinking it must be the innkeeper's wife. Instead, outside, I found shepherds, bedraggled, wrapped in layers of torn robes. And one of the shepherds stepped forward. He looked gaunt with hunger, but his eyes were wide with wonder, as if he'd seen a miracle himself, and was left as speechless as I. His voice shook as he spoke. We mean you no harm. Do you believe in miracles? He asked. I surprised myself laughing. I do now. And he continued, we were sent by God, by angels. This released all of the shepherds, excitingly spilling out, angels, yes, from the sky, like stars blazing. We heard voices like music, but not like any music we'd ever heard before. And then the eldest shepherd held up his staff, and they all got quiet. And he was bent with age and hardship. And the voice of this old shepherd shook as he spoke. To us they came. At first I thought death had come to free me from this body of pain, but I could see that the others saw what I saw. And this old shepherd said, what did the angels want with us? We who matter not, we who are unclean, we who are poor and forsaken, we who are no one. Why us? We were told to come here. We were told the Savior might be found here. Just then, memory rushed to my mind and heart. And I could see and hear Mary long months ago with fierce eyes and this unquestionable knowing. It is God's child I carry. I remember feeling a fire rise up my spine with the shepherd's words of a Savior found here. My age melted. I felt like a man of 20. I knew. All of a sudden, I knew. I didn't know what it all meant, but I knew, same as Mary. Come, come, I said to these faithful shepherds. Come into the stable, come. You will be our first guests, the first to behold the child, God's child. Well, our son, Jesus. Jesus is 12 now. Here he is, running through the temple. You ask me if he is the Savior that everyone was expecting? How can I know? I'm a simple man, a carpenter, a man of few words. But I must tell you, there are times when he looks at me, when his eyes are deep and determined, fierce as his mother's. And there are times when I look into his eyes, and it is like looking into the very heart of God. There are times when I look into his eyes, and time stops. And it's as if I'm back in that stable, surrounded by those shepherds, with everything awake and alive and fragrant with love. And there I am again, holding the child, but somehow knowing in a way I can't possibly understand or explain. The child is holding me, holding all of us. I love this boy. I love this boy. I don't really understand how, but I know nothing will ever be the same in this world because of him. As for me, I'm just going to do the best I can to be there for him, to be his papa. I really wonder about the presence of Joseph. And the impact his presence, the impact his love had in the life of Jesus. You know, I wonder about my own presence in this weary world. I mean, how would you describe how you are present to others? Maybe the best gift we can give others this Christmas, it is the gift of greatest worth. The gift of our presence. In return, we just might receive the gift of joy in a weary world. May it be so.
The Lord, come, let us.
I wonder about the presence of Joseph and the impact his presence had on the life of Jesus. I wonder about the impact of my presence in this weary world. How might you offer the gift of your presence this Christmas, especially to those who are weary? Go in the peace and the love of Christ, and may the gift of your presence bring peace to others.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you found a space to breathe, a faith you can believe in, and a God who believes in you. Visit us at bendfp.org. There you can get more information on who we are and what we're about. You can learn about how we're trying to make a difference in this world and how you can partner with us and support us financially. Or you can make a prayer request. Until next time, God bless.